Our study is entitled A Combined Lifestyle and Medication Intervention to Reduce CHD Risk. I would like to recognize our co-principal investigator, Stacy Sheridan, and our project manager, Lindy Drager, neither of whom are here today. I have no disclosures. And I want to note that there are many collaborators on this project representing a number of academic disciplines. As I think all of you recognize, coronary heart disease is common, and lifestyle and medications can substantially reduce the risk. But adherence to recommended lifestyle behaviors is poor, and medications are underutilized, and when prescribed, adherence is often poor. So effectiveness and feasible interventions with a combined focus on lifestyle and medications have the potential to substantially reduce CHD risk. However, few combined interventions have been tested, and we are not aware of comparative effectiveness research studies that have evaluated alternative formats of combined interventions, nor dissemination of such interventions. So our objective is to test in a randomized trial two alternative formats of a combined lifestyle and medication intervention, a web-based format with support from a counselor, and a counselor-based format. And our primary outcome is to assess the effect of the interventions on predicted heart disease risk at 4-month follow-up. Our goal for both interventions will be to reduce predicted 10-year CHD risk by at least 1.5% compared to baseline risk, as estimated by a Framingham risk equation. I'm going to show you a study flow diagram in just a minute, but we're not talking about control groups in this study. We're comparing two different formats for an intervention. Other outcomes include diet and physical activity, smoking, medication adherence, traditional heart disease risk factors, quality of life, and in addition, we aim to assess the acceptability of the intervention to participants, office staff, clinicians, and policymakers, and evaluate the cost effectiveness of the interventions. And another goal, if effective, is to prepare the interventions for dissemination and use existing resources to help disseminate the interventions. Okay, let's talk about methods. The setting for this study is 5 practices in the North Carolina Family Medicine Research Network. I'm having trouble with the arrow. Here it is. So these practices are located in central North Carolina. I want to point out that they're quite different. One is an academic private practice, 2 are private practices, and 2 are community health centers. They differ in number of providers, going from 9 physicians in one to 2 physicians in another, and the ethnic and racial diversity is different, with 10% African Americans in this practice and 60% in this practice. Participants are established patients presenting for routine care who were enrolled if they consented to participate, were in our age range, and here we note that they had to have a heart disease risk, a 10-year risk of 10%, and that's because we wanted individuals who might take advantage of a medication intervention, at least one modifiable CHD risk factor, and willing to learn how to use a web-based intervention if they did not know how to use the web. Here is the study flow diagram. There's baseline screening. There's randomization of the 600 participants to the counselor-directed intervention or the web-based intervention. Notice there is no true control group. I'll tell you a little bit more about the intervention components in a moment. There is follow-up at 4 to 6 months, a maintenance intervention, and then final follow-up at 12 months. The counselor-based intervention has an initial face-to-face session at practices that lasts for 90 minutes, and then 3 monthly follow-up contacts, which can be face-to-face or by phone, but most of our participants are choosing face-to-face. Then there's a maintenance intervention with 3 follow-up contacts at 2-month intervals, either face-to-face or phone. The web-based intervention has an initial session at the practice with support from the counselor that takes about 90 minutes. Although this theoretically could be done at home or at a remote site for the first intervention, we thought we should have someone to help the user. And then there are 3 monthly follow-up contacts which could occur at the practice or elsewhere with counselor support if requested by their participant. Many of these individuals are doing the web-based intervention at home or elsewhere. The maintenance intervention, again, similar format as for counselor, but it can be done at the practice or elsewhere. Now, the contents of the interventions are similar. Both begin with the decision aid on heart disease risk and risk-reducing options. This decision aid, and this is computer-based for all of the participants, allows our participants to calculate their CHD risk and explore the effect on risk-reducing strategies with medication or lifestyle change. And participants are given the option of working on diet, physical activity, use of medication, or any combination. If they choose to work on any of these, there's general education on lifestyle and medication as appropriate. There are tailored tips regarding problem areas and barriers to risk reduction, and we have goal setting and specification of first steps. Here's a sample screenshot from the decision aid. This individual is actually at quite high risk for heart disease. You can see that their 10-year risk is 30, maybe that's 39%. I have trouble reading it. Let's move on to results. This slide shows some baseline demographic characteristics. This sample includes 340 participants. We have more than that in the program, but they have to move to a certain level to have the back-end data that we're using here. The mean age was 63. Half were female, 26% African-American. Most of the rest were white, and their educational background spans quite a range, 18% less than high school, 19% college and advanced degree. And about 2/3 were married or living with someone like a spouse. In terms of household income, once again, we span quite a range with 24% reporting a household income of less than $20,000. These are probably coming from the community health centers. And then we have about 15 or 16% with household incomes of greater than $70,000. As might be expected, with a mean age of 63, only 28% are working full-time. 13% part-time, only 4 were seeking employment, and almost half were retired. This slide gives baseline blood pressure, lipids, and BMI. The average blood pressure was 133 over 78, total cholesterol 189, HDL 42, LDL 117. Our 10-year Framingham risk score on average was 16%. This is a very high-risk population. Not unexpected, the average weight was fairly high at 209 pounds with a BMI of 31. Now this slide shows risk factors in selected health behaviors. 80% had hypertension, 82% had high blood cholesterol, over half had type 2 diabetes, 24% were current smokers, 28% positive family history, and almost 20% had known CVD. In terms of self-reported behaviors, 44% reported they were following a low-fat diet. The thing is, we're not suggesting a low-fat diet, but we thought we'd ask the question since the lay conception is that low-fat might be helpful. 53% said they were following a low-sodium diet and 32% a weight loss diet. Here's some interesting characteristics on medication use. Only 3% were not taking any medications, and 38% were taking 6 to 9, and 17% 10 or more. Now, this can include over-the-counter medications. 61% were taking aspirin, 80% blood pressure meds, and 64% cholesterol-lowering medication. Now, what about internet use? The CDC folks were very concerned about whether these older individuals would be using or willing to use the internet. Of course, they had to meet the inclusion criteria of willing to use it. But I thought these percentages were interesting. About 2/3 said they were comfortable or very comfortable with the internet. Only 20% said they were very uncomfortable. And although a half did not use the internet very much during a typical week, a lot did use the internet. Types of use, email 54%, Facebook in 63-year-olds 24%, web surfing 56%, and then shopping and paying bills. This is the last data slide I'm going to present. Choices for reducing heart disease risk. 92% elected to work on diet, 61% physical activity, and 59% diet and physical activity. This is a little bit higher than we expected, and I think as health professionals, it forces us to reckon with how can we give an effective lifestyle intervention to a high-risk population. Even though we're doing this study in primary care offices, this has public health implications because most Americans see their primary care doctor, so there's a fairly large target audience here. Of those who were eligible to start aspirin, 31% said they wanted to do so after seeing the decision aid. Of those who are currently smoking, 69% expressed an interest in smoking cessation. Of those who were not on blood pressure medicines and had high blood pressure, you will see that's a very small number. 41% said they were interested in starting blood pressure medications, and those who were on meds said that they were interested in increasing the intensity of medication. Perhaps they were uncontrolled or not adherent. And of those not taking cholesterol medications, 24% said they were interested in starting, and 19% said they were interested in intensifying their regimen. So these are data that are generated after the individuals look at the decision aid, and I don't have time to take you through the decision aid, but I think that's an important starting point. Okay, so our progress to date. We've enrolled over 350 participants for primary prevention and 85 with known CVD. I failed to mention we're enrolling both. We've had over 100 participants complete the four-month follow-up, and the CalSTRN web-based format seem well received. Early findings in terms of participants, racial composition reflects those of the state. They're older, at high risk for CHDs, most use the internet, there's diversity in educational level and computer skills, almost all want to work on diet, a half want to improve physical activity, many want to start or increase meds. That's easy to say, harder to do. What are the implications of our early findings on cost-effectiveness research? We think that our practice settings and sample provide rich data to determine which interventions are most effective for which patients under specific circumstances. Our study will provide acceptability and cost-effectiveness data to inform decisions about intervention dissemination, and if the intervention is effective and feasible for use in routine settings, there is potential for large public health impact. And of course, two of these modules can be used in public health settings. The medication module needs to be used in a medication setting because doctors need to prescribe medications. Thank you very much.
First off, I'd like to give another rousing round of applause for all of our great researchers here.